Isn't God good?
He is.
If you will keep Israel in prayer, as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to pray for them. I don't know all the details, but I know Hezbollah has attacked them, hundreds of missiles. And so it's important because, so my message this morning is unity in the body of Christ. And I'm going to be reading about how, the Jews and Gentiles have become one in the body, Some people think that God's done away with Israel, but God has not done away with Israel. As a matter of fact, God is, because when God chose Israel, he does not go back on his word. And we, as Gentiles, when we get saved, we become part of Israel. So we're even closer to Israel, because of Jesus. And when you think about it, Jesus was a Jew. And so none of us would even be able to be saved if it wasn't for Israel, if it wasn't for the Jews. So I just want to go and lift up Israel this morning. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just come before this morning, Father God. I want to just lift up the nation of Israel, Father God, in Jerusalem. We thank you, God, for the peace over there, Father God. We thank you, God, for protecting the people, Father God. We thank you for the word that's going forth. We know that there are many, many, many that need saved in Israel, Father God. We thank you for bringing forth your word over there. We thank you, God, for protecting the soldiers over there, for protecting the people. We thank you, God, for leading the leaders over there. Give them wisdom, Father God. Show them what to do, Father God. We thank you, God, that you will thwart all the enemy's plans, God, that they will come to naught, Father God. We thank you, Father God. Your word says that you know it. You don't slumber, nor do you sleep, Father God. You watch over Israel, Father God. We thank you for that, Father God. We just thank you for everything that you're doing in Israel today, Father God. We just thank you for your body throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you will, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading starting at verse 8. And I'm going to read this from the NRT. So Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. And I think that's a good thing, Because imagine if the only way to get saved was because you had to live a good life. Nobody could do it. It's the gift, Jesus. Verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. And of course, this is Paul, talking to the Ephesians. So don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. And so, this is Paul telling them that, of course, before Jesus Christ came, Israel was the chosen people. God basically only spoke and walked through the Israelites, and Gentiles were excluded from this unless they wanted to come and be part of them. But because of what Jesus did, the whole world, every single Gentile was open to become part of Jesus. 13, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people, when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. So, this right here is telling us that what Jesus did is he's, basically joined us together with the Jews. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and all hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. And I like this because we are, when we're like joined together, this body of Christ, you know, and God's the one that joins it together. It's not human. So He puts people where He needs them, you know. So, you know, it's the callings, you know, callings of God are without repentance. You know, people are called for different ministries, but it's God that puts it all together. So when we allow God to do that, it can't be separated, you know, it just works, you know, the body of Christ works together. It's amazing when you see ministries come together in unity in the body of Christ, the stuff that they can get done. Now, if you will go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, this is also from NLT, starting at verse 1. Therefore, I, Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when He ascended to the heights, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people. Notice that it says He ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that He might fill the entire universe with Himself. You know, that's amazing because of what Jesus Christ did. You know, you think about some, you know, people give testimonies about they ran from God. You know, they didn't want to have anything to do with God, so they ran as far as away. But then they get to the end of themselves and they realize there isn't no running from God. No matter where you go, God is there, you know. So it's like that gives you the option, you know, you should turn around and run towards God. And it's amazing because, you know, because He filled the entire universe with Himself, you know, He knows what we have need of, you know. Any type of questions we have, we take them to Him. He knows the answers. He knows, you know, anything that you have need of, He is there for you. All right, verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. You know, and I think that's happening more and more these days, you know. A lot more churches are compromising the Word of God, and they're starting to actually speak lies, but make it so clever that it sounds like truth and it's deceiving people. So it's so important to just, you know, make sure what you hear lines up with the Word of God. Verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so it's Christ. It says it's Christ who makes the whole body fit together perfectly, which I am so thankful for. I'm so thankful that he doesn't leave us up to us humans to try to do it, because, you know, we would fail so miserably. And it's amazing, because it's like you can see as the end of these days are getting closer and closer how God is really purging his body of Christ, you know. He's really separating the sheep from the wolves, from the tares, from the wheat. And he's like, you know, we should allow him to purge us, you know, get whatever out that he wants to get out of us. And at the same time, you can see how he's separating people, you know. There's clarity like in the line, you know, did you hear about, you know, the Democrat convention that they had free, you know, abortions right there going around the convention? It's like, man, that just shows you how evil the evil is getting these days. It's darker and darker. So, but God's bringing his body together to shine as a light, you know, and to stand for truth, you know, to stand for the things that are right, which is so important. Okay, so that's what I had for you. I do want to go ahead and read. So back in 2020, I've read this a couple of times now, but I think it's been a while, so I'm reading it again. This is what God gave me back in 2020. He showed me one time. The title of it was It's Time, but it deals with Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, talking about the whole armor of God. So I feel like I want to go ahead and read that again. Okay, so this is how it goes. God says it's time. Time for what? God says it's time for the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ, to rise up and stand, to take a stand and to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Rise up, that you may be able to stand against all the devil's schemes, plans, and lies. For the devil knows that his time is short. You can see that the love of many is waxing colder and colder, and that the devil is increasingly sowing discord amongst the brethren. But, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, for we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, having done all, stand. Stand, having your loins girded about with truth. And who is truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through Jesus. Therefore, if your loins are girded with Jesus, you cannot fail. For in Jesus, you have the freedom to go directly to God the Father in any time of need. And put on the breastplate of righteousness. And who is righteousness? Jesus is your righteousness. Therefore, if Jesus is your breastplate of righteousness, none of the devil's darts, tactics, or schemes can penetrate or harm you. No sin can defeat you, because Jesus became our sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And have your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. And who is peace? Jesus is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Therefore, if you cover your feet with Jesus, you will run and won't grow weary. You will walk and not faint, and the Lord will renew your strength. And above all, take the shield of faith, that you can quench, extinguish, put out all the fiery darts of the wicked. And who is your shield of faith? Jesus is. Jesus is the faithful one. When Jesus is your shield, your protector, nothing that the devil attacks you with can get past Jesus. Nothing can harm you with Jesus as your shield. And put on the helmet of salvation. And who is your Savior? Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And what does the helmet do? The helmet protects the head. And who is the head? Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. Therefore, Jesus protects your mind from whatever the devil may attack your thoughts with, and from the lies that he may try and deceive you with. For we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And finally, my brethren, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Listen, up to now we have been talking about the armor of God, but now you need to take the sword of the Spirit and attack the devil. How do you attack the devil? You speak God's word over your life and over the lives of those around you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And not only do you use the sword of the Spirit in your own life, but also use the sword of the Spirit to attack the devil in other people's lives. And how can you use the sword of the Spirit to attack the devil in other people's lives? With prayer and supplication. For when you pray and intercede for others, the Holy Spirit goes forth on your behalf. And at last, my brethren, watch and pray with perseverance for all saints. For the enemy is attacking, and we are to be ready to stand and fight. For time is short, so fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold unto eternal life, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. So just to recap, put on the whole armor of God, which is to put on Jesus and allow Jesus to fight your battles. For Satan is already defeated and Jesus is victorious. So I know it's been, I think, a little bit since I read that, and that's what God showed me back in 2020. And, you know, it's a current word, you know. I know that God is really uniting his body in these last days. You know, you can just, like I say, you can just see the way the world is going. Evil is getting more evil, and the righteous have to stand, you know, the righteous have to shine bright as a light in this evil world. So, and that is all I have for you.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You can go ahead and turn to Job chapter 2. This is, again, part of the hardship series. This is called Loss of Loved Ones. And I just want to put this out there. You know, this isn't an easy sermon to preach, so I'll probably get a little emotional. But again, it might be a little hard to hear too. So even if you're thinking about loved ones that you have lost, I want you to keep in mind that you have the Holy Spirit here to comfort you, to strengthen you today. So just receive what the Lord has for you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so every one of us have lost loved ones. This kind of suffering is what each one of us will go through at some point in our lives. It's not unique to an individual in the world. It's everyone. Everyone loses someone they love. It's going to happen in your life. And if you haven't yet, you will, right? So today I don't want to talk really about Job a lot. I actually want to talk about his wife. And whenever I talk about her before, I just kind of like pass her on, like, you know, she's just, everybody talks about, all she says is curse God and die, you know. So when you think about her, it's like, oh man, you don't even think much about her. And the Lord kept laying her on my heart, you know, that I can't just look at her the way that I have always looked at her. And so he just kept bringing that back to my memory, is like, you need to look at Job's wife differently. So Job chapter 2, we're going to read 9 and 10. Then said his wife unto him, this is her talking to Job, dost thou still retain thy integrity, curse God and die? But Job said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. So when I was thinking about Job's wife, I realized, you know, not only did Job go through all of this hurt, the enemy, the devil took everything that was dear to him as much as he could, as much as God would allow. And here is Job's wife alongside him also suffering. And so I got to thinking, you know, sometimes we don't think about other people around us that are suffering when the enemy is attacking us. You know, when we go through hardships, not only does, if I'm going through something, it's going to affect Michael. If he's going through something, it's going to affect me. And it's also going to affect Mandy. If we're going through something, it's going to affect people around us. Well, it's the same way with you. If you've gone through something, it's going to affect people around you. So, and it's not even like it's your fault, because this wasn't Job's fault. The devil was attacking him. So not only was he suffering, but his wife was suffering as well. It wasn't her fault. It was, so for her, all she felt was like, this is unfair. So when she was talking to Job, she was talking from a heart that was hurting. She was talking from a heart that had lost her children. She was hurting in pain. She was grieving. You know, the deepest kind of suffering that you can go through is that grief, that deep sorrow that nobody can pull you out of. It's not something that you can just tell someone, well, just get over it. That person, you know, just get over it. No, you never get over something. You never get over someone that you've lost. You get through the pain, but the fact that they're gone is always there. You're never gonna get them back. If you love the Lord and you've received Jesus, you'll see them in heaven today if they have as well, or when you go to heaven, but they're not here. So that loss is always there. The pain you can get through, but it's still there sometimes. When you think of the loss of someone, it may get a little easier, and it may get a little easier, but it's still there. And that's where Job's wife was. At that moment, she's telling him, you know, why even keep your integrity? Why, you're suffering too. Why don't you just give up? And I feel like she was telling him that, and he told her, well, don't speak as the foolish women speak. And so when I originally would read that, it would be like he's calling her a foolish woman, that she's a foolish woman. But I got to thinking, I believe the Holy Spirit showed me, that's not how it was. She was not a foolish woman. He was pointing out that in her hurt, in her pain, she was talking the way that the world would talk. She was talking the way someone else would talk. Someone else would be like, you give up. There's no point in living. But that's not who she was. That's not who she was. That was only because she was talking out of pain. And so I got to thinking about, you know, that's what we do sometimes. Sometimes when we've lost someone, you just want to yell at everybody. You don't want anybody to tell you how you should be feeling. You don't want anybody to tell you how hard it is, because you know how hard it is. When people want to give you the what for, you're like, don't talk to me, you know? So for her, you know, it's not that we can just tell her, we can just look at her and say, oh, well, this is Job's wife, and she was just a foolish woman, and she just telling him to just give up and die. Just curse God and die. You know, that's like, no, we can't look at her like that anymore. We need to look at her from a human perspective. If we were in her shoes, if we had just lost 10 of our children, how would we feel? How would that impact our life? And maybe not even 10 children, but maybe all of your friends. You know, they lost a lot. They lost servants and riches and children all in a day. That's a lot to lose. And so she was feeling that pain, and then seeing, and at this point, Job is covered in boils and he's suffering too. And she's like, how can you go on like this? And she, you know, how can you keep going like this? I'm suffering here. You're suffering here. Just be done with it. You know, and it's easy to just misunderstand her, who she is, just in those two little verses. But it's because of grief and what she's going through that's how she's reacting, right? Yeah. Okay, so grief is one of the hardest burdens any of us can bear. This burden is like the excess burdens Paul talked about in Galatians 6. Remember, we read that last week. We each have our own burden to bear. But when you lose someone you love, you need others to help you carry that excess burden, that pain that you feel. And remember when Job's friends, they came to him and And they actually, it says in there that they came to mourn with him and to comfort him. And they may have started off that way, but then all they could do was rebuke him and tell him he needed to repent because this was all his fault. So it was like they wanted to help him carry his burden, but they wanted to put their point across too. So they really weren't walking in love. So we need each other to help us carry those excess burdens when we've lost someone. We need people, we need each other to lean on when we need comfort. We don't need a lecture when we've lost someone. We don't even need a 5-minute speech of whatever they're feeling. We just need them to be present. We may need them to hold our hands, maybe give us a hug, maybe just be there, walk with us. You know, whenever I've lost ones that I've loved, just the fact that people were there for me was big. I didn't need to hear, you know, everyone says, you know, I'm sorry about your loved one. I'm sorry you lost whoever it was, you know. So you hear that, and that's all I needed to hear. I didn't want to hear anything else. Because when you're hurting, you don't need a lot of explanation, or you don't need to hear, well, you'll get through this. Yes, you will get through it, but sometimes you need the time to just grieve properly. And, you know, back in the Old Testament, when God gave the old laws and he told them how to do life, he actually made it a law that when you lost someone, that you took a certain amount of days to grieve. That's how important it is to God. That's how important it is to him. When you lose someone, he knows you're hurting. He knows it. And so he actually made that a law because he cared about his people. And so my thinking is, you know, nowadays it's like if someone loses someone and they're grieving, they get so much criticism from people. You know, it's like people need to be able to take that time to grieve, especially Christians. You know, we throw around those verses of, you know, well, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. Jesus took your sorrows. You just need to get over this. And instead, it's like, instead of just being there for people, when we've all lost someone, we need that person to say it. And you may be saying the right thing to someone, but if you're doing it the wrong way, you know, but just keep in mind, you know, don't just go after someone when they've lost someone and just open your mouth. You know, just open your heart. Don't feel like you need to say everything under the sun. Just be there for them. Amen. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Never tell a person, never do this, to just get over it. Never tell them when they lose a loved one that they need to get over it. Keep that verbiage out of your mouth, out of your heart, because Jesus never told a person who was hurting to just get over it. He told them who he was and who he was for them, but he never told them, all right, stop what you're doing. This needs to end now. No, he comforted them, and that's what we're to do for each other. Amen. I think it's somewhere in Luke where Jesus said he goes to meet Lazarus, and he sees Mary and Martha, and Lazarus had already passed away, and he's seeing the pain and the hurt that they're going through, and it's amazing because there's just this little verse in the Bible, and it says Jesus wept, and it's just amazing because, you know, Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, so it wasn't like he was weeping at the loss of Lazarus because he knew he was going to see him again. He was weeping with those who were weeping. He was feeling their pain and going through it with them. And that's where, like, you know, maybe you need to cry with somebody. Not to make it like it's all about you, you know, but that maybe they need to know that you're there for them, right? 2 Corinthians 7:6 says that God comforts and encourages the depressed and disquieted, meaning when all you can think about is the hurt and you can't think of anything else. When your brain is so full of hurt and pain and loss that you can't think of anything else and your mind can't even get quiet because you're in so much pain. All you can think about is, why did this happen, or how did this happen, or why is this like this? How come God doesn't understand what I'm going through? He is there for you. Amen. Psalm 119:50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." It's God's words that will come to you at those points that you need from the Holy Spirit. You need those words of comfort. Amen. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." So right there, it says that he comforts us in all our tribulation. Every single trial, every loss, every hurt, every pain, everything that you're going through, God is your comfort. It goes on to say that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So what Paul is saying is, God comforts us, and then he gives us the ability to comfort each other. So it's not like God just does things a certain way. God uses whatever he can use to bring comfort to someone. "By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So when you're going through something, you need to receive the comfort of the Lord. You need to. You can't comfort someone unless you have felt and experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's hard it's hard to truly love someone unless you've ever really known love and felt love. It's the same thing with comfort. You know, like, I didn't really know much about what comfort was or that it was even important. I saw people die growing up, and I was just a young girl. Didn't really put much importance on, you know, why people were crying or spending time with each other. But as I got older, I started to feel those feelings of, wow, it does hurt when you lose someone. And wow, it does help when someone is there for you. And so when I experienced that, it changed how I treated others. You know, so we have to comfort each other. But first, we have to receive that comfort from the Holy Spirit. If we don't receive it, we cannot give it out. Amen? So comfort is a gift we receive from God that we need to give those who are in pain. We need to do that. We need to keep in mind that that is something that is in us to do for others. Not that we can say things a certain way or do things a certain way to make a person feel better. But if comfort is in us because the Holy Spirit is in us, it's our calling to comfort people. If it's a little thing or a big thing, it doesn't matter. Maybe God wants you to just call someone who needs comfort. Maybe he wants you to spend a lot of time with that person. Maybe he wants you to just go over there and fix them a meal. Maybe he wants you to write them a letter. Whatever it is, God knows what that person needs. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit for what that need is. Amen? Comfort is a healing ointment to a wounded soul. It means to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer, to strengthen the mind when depressed or weak, to console, to relieve from depression or trouble or distress of the mind. And how many times have any of those things been needed in our lives? How many times have we needed consolation and relief? And how many times have we needed strength when we have been depressed by hurt and anxiety and fear and the things that happen when you lose someone? You don't expect, you know, when you lose a loved one, there are feelings that you don't expect that come up. You know, like you think, well, you know, they're not here anymore, so I can deal with this and this, but it's just not like that. Things come up that didn't get dealt with before. Things that you wish you would have said. Things that you wish you would have changed while they were here. Things that you're like, well, maybe if I had done this differently, maybe we would have been closer. And so you think of all these things after they're gone. And so not only are you dealing with the pain, but then this guilt can come upon you that's like, wow, didn't even know this was going to happen. So it's like you're continually, when you lose a loved one, you're continually bombarded with feeling after feeling after feeling. And it's like, why does this keep happening? You know, when is it going to end? And you do get through it when you let the Holy Spirit comfort you. He is your strength. Amen. As we struggle through a loss, we quite often depend on those who are closest to us, those we have a strong relationship with. Relationship is important for comfort. Jesus knew that really well. He modeled relationship, and he also sent us a comforter. When he died and he rose again from the dead, and then he left the earth, he told the disciples, I will send a comforter to you. Because he knew that as a man, he could only be in one place at a time, as a physical human being. But as a spirit, he could be anywhere in the entire world, which is mind-boggling for us humans to think of. But he knew that we needed it because, you see, we know that God exists, all of us. We know that he exists somewhere out there, you know. We don't know where he is, but we know that he is everywhere. We know he's omnipresent. We know he exists. But we don't get changed by God's existence. We don't get comforted by God existing. We get comforted. We get changed by his presence. When his presence is here, that's how we get changed. When his Holy Spirit is in us, that's how we get changed. And I can guarantee you, if I went throughout this room, every one of us, you could all tell me that it was God's presence, that you knew that he was doing something in you. You could feel it in you that he was doing something. You knew that he was working in situations that nobody else could explain, but that God was doing that. That's because that's his presence. And so Jesus knew this, and that's why he gave us his Holy Spirit. And if there is a part of you that's like, well, I don't know if I have ever experienced that comfort, I don't know if I've ever experienced that kind of change, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come inside of you and fill you up. Ask him, Holy Spirit, I want every part that Jesus, that you have for me. I want your Holy Spirit to take over every part of me, every part of me. I want to experience that change in my life that I need. And you know, sometimes people, they get around others who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they receive that comfort from someone else who has the Holy Spirit. But then they go away from those people, and they're like, well, how come it's gone? How come I don't have that relief and that comfort anymore? It's because they don't have the Holy Spirit in themselves. We each need filled with the Holy Spirit. We need that comfort in our lives. Amen? So grief is a deep sorrow, and God goes the deepest to help us in our sorrows. God is the one who can reach deep inside of your soul, deep inside of the hurt that you're going through, and heal that pain. Only God can do that. No human being can reach inside of you and take out darkness. No human being can do that. No human being can do what God can do. That's why we need him so much. In Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, and comfort those who mourn. And then in Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What he is saying is that, yes, there is going to be a time when you are mourning, but he will be there for you. You are blessed because you have Jesus. You have the best and most powerful comforter in the universe living inside of you. So even though mourning is hard, and even though losing someone is hard, and even though grieving feels like it's just going to keep going. And why doesn't it end? You are blessed because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and He is healing you. He is helping you with that burden. That is an excess burden. That is not something that's, you can just handle all on your own. You're not meant to handle that pain all on your own. You're meant to give it to Jesus. You're meant to let people around you help you with it. Amen. We need to let the healing words of the Holy Spirit not only comfort our hearts, but speak through each other. When the Holy Spirit is in us, He speaks to us words of comfort. He speaks to us exactly what we need to hear at just the right time. It may be words that we don't expect. Maybe it's just a little thing, but somehow it can take all of the pain away. Somehow it just works because it's the power of God. It doesn't need to be explained. It doesn't need to be lifted up like, only God. We sometimes us human beings feel like, just like Job's friends, that we need to make sure people know that God is the greatest in the universe. That they know, because if they would understand that, but see, God is the greatest in the universe, and He doesn't need us as human beings to prove that. We talk about how great He is because we know He is to us. But if we're trying to convince someone how great He is without proving it in our own lives, if we're trying to comfort someone without letting that comfort flow through us, then it's not going to help any. We can, unless it's the Holy Spirit speaking through us, unless it's Him saying, hey, it's okay. We're here for you. We're praying for you, whatever you need. Unless it's from the Holy Spirit, those are just empty promises. If you tell someone you're going to be there for them, don't let that be an empty promise. Let it be a promise of the Holy Spirit. If you tell someone that you love them and that they, whatever they need, that you just ask, whatever you need, don't let that be an empty promise. Let it be truly from your heart, from the Holy Spirit inside of you, whatever He tells you to comfort someone with. Let that be truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is not the spirit of error. He does not want you to make vain promises and empty promises so that you can say to someone, oh man, that's awful what you're going through. You just tell me whatever you need and I'll be there for you, but you don't actually mean what you say. It's the Holy Spirit that actually means what He says. When the Holy Spirit talks, He follows it through. When Jesus gives a promise, He does not lie. It says in the Bible that God is not the author of confusion. It says He does not lie like man lies. When He gives a promise to someone that He is going to be there when you're hurting, He is going to be there when that grief feels like it's so deep, He means it. And you're going to go through that several times in your life. And He wants you to hold on to His word that He is there for you. It doesn't mean that that mourning is not going to come. It doesn't mean that that grief is not going to come. It just means that you have someone there with you to go through it. And it is easier when you have the presence of the Lord with you than if you don't. Amen. All right, that is all I have today. Thank you, Lord. We're going to pray and dismiss, and I have an announcement before you head out there, okay? Thank you, Lord. You can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank You, Lord, that the grief that we have felt from losing loved ones, God, we cast and throw this burden to You, Father. The hurt and the pain, the guilt, whatever it is that we have gone through, the mourning, God, we give all of this to You. We thank You, Jesus, You heal the brokenhearted. We thank You, Lord, that You turn our mourning into dancing. So, God, we cast all of our cares upon You because You care for us. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would fill us up. Fill us up and change us from the inside out. Open our eyes to the purpose and the plan that You have for us. And God, I ask that you would bless each and every person here. Bless them, God, with your presence, your life-changing presence. In Jesus' name we love you, Lord. Amen. Amen.